Well, I know and hope that you have been praying for this week, and as we kick it off this morning, we got all day today, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights, and then of course next Sunday we'll have our faith promise pledges given. But this morning we're gonna start off with some familiar faces. With Brother Hamby and Brother Alford are here with us, and the church, most of you probably know them. Some of you will be meeting them for the first time. But Brother Alford, who is going to be doing our Sunday school hour, he has been missionaries out of Crooked Creek since 1997, if I understand that correctly. And they have been serving the Lord in Venezuela for over 30 years. And so we are grateful that they are here with us. And the theme of our conference, of course, is finishing the course. And I'm so thankful God has sent servants our way that have maintained their course. They just have done what that God has asked them to do and been sensitive to His Spirit. And what the Lord has been doing in and through them. And then, of course, Brother Hamby will be preaching for us this morning and tonight. But I just ask you, please, give your full attention to the presentation this morning. I think we're going to watch a presentation to start off with. And then Brother Alford will be bringing us a Bible challenge. So you be listening to him. Brother Alford, you come on up and you go ahead and just give us what God has put on your heart. And we're thankful that you're here, brother. Thank you for being here, brother.
Thank you. It's certainly an honor and a privilege to be here. I believe I've got my mic on. And we are missionaries to Venezuela, South America. We've got a display in the back. And first of all, we want to say we're thankful for Camp Creek Baptist Church. Camp Creek. Crooked Creek is another church in South Carolina. Crooked Creek Baptist Church for the support over the many years. We appreciate you. We love the church. And it's been a blessing through all these years. My wife's with me, Barbara. She extended this time. She's the one that keeps me straight. We're church planters. And we're going to show a DVD in just a moment. And it just runs through. I speak as it goes through. And it's going to show the work. It's a little different. It'll show a church that was started a long time ago. Then it'll show where it's at today. Then it'll show the next church or where I was at after that. Then today. Kind of goes back into a little bit. It'll probably confuse you, but you'll get something out of it maybe. And we'll, if you have any questions afterwards, since it is a lot of information, I'm going to make general statements, but I'll be glad to answer your question after the service. Just feel free to ask. And we'll be going back in November the 19th. Got a ticket to be back in Venezuela, South America. Start another term. So we'll start our DVD presentation. I guess I'll move out of the way here. I believe my mic's going to be on while I move over. Very good. Venezuela's the top part of South America, the red part of the continent there. About 30 million people. It has a big contrast. We live in that city, Maracay, but they have like shanty buildings and they have different types of areas like the jungle area and all the interior is jungle. And so they have several Indian tribes. I was saved in North Florida right off 129. Jasper, Florida, and that church was started there. That's our apartment building. That's a small food line trying to get something to eat. That's a larger food line. They're having no food problems. That's a bullet that came in and hit our pulpit, came in through the roof right there with that little hole in the top. There's a lot of insecurity. The government tries to be anti-gringo, a North American. They have a lot of different religions. The biggest is witchcraft, and so they have a witchcraft mountain there. And there's some Muslims. A lot of our governors are Muslims. We first went to Venezuela, Caicara. That's Barbara and our little baby, and grew up on the mission field, our children. And we worked with Brother John, and the Indians would come and camp up on our house. They'd bring their lunch bag. That's a monkey bag there. And we'd visit the villages. We had their language on cassette tape. That's what we would be able to share that way. But we was main ministers to the Spanish-speaking people. So we started a little church, rented a building, put my office out on the street, and started having people come to those services. And the first group baptized, the man in the background with a white shirt, that's him holding the Bible box. He's now the pastor of that church. Well, let's go visit that today. We was just down there, and we crossed the Orinoco River. That's a big river. And we visit the Maranatha Baptist Church. Brother Jose Araujo's pastoring. We'll see Johnny with a tie on as we go through some of these pictures. That's Brother Jose today. Just been ordained in June. We went down to the ordaining, Brother John and myself, in a church service some time ago. They have four churches that's come out of this. I call them second generation churches. They have a camp there. That's the conference center in the dormitory. And they have 500 acres. And they have children's camp. That's men's camp. All kind of camps there, trying to reach people. Usually have the baptism there in the little river. And so they're really in trying to start other churches. This is Puerto Espiritu, another town. It's on our radar. We have about four towns we're watching at this time, trying to start churches. We was forced out of Venezuela after a year originally. Went to Colombia. Bob Garrett was there. And then we had to go to Chile, and we started this church in Chile, and a place called Melipilla. And it's a wooden building, praise the Lord. We have Vacation Bible School, just like you do here. We're church planners, barbers teaching, baptizing. But we had an earthquake, and most of the town was destroyed. The Catholic Church was destroyed, but our church was not. And so that next service, we had a packed house, amen, after an earthquake. That's right. But then we got our visa, went back to Venezuela, rented a building. And that was one of the biggest groups we ever had come out. And we had about 200 every night, 6 weeks of meetings, and founded the Fountain of Love Baptist Church. So there have been several churches been started. And in Maracay, there's probably about four or five churches. And this was when we were first there many years ago. We've had pastors come down, visit the work in Maracay. That work's doing real good now. We'll look at it today. And there they are today. They've got their building. They've done some improvements. And having a women's meeting there. So they're doing real good. Pastor's been there about 18 years. And we reach out. We have meetings in different places trying to start churches. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't work out. And so that's the ministry we're in. And we had a young lady get married. She married a pastor. His wife passed and she married him. And we have missions in our garages or under a tree. Wherever the Lord opens the door, we'll preach there and see what happens. Pete Rice came down and had a big meeting there in Caracas. We helped him in that. And so we've been trying to stay busy and get the gospel out. That's a basketball court, open-air meeting. And that was in a patio. Like I say, we have meetings there where we can. And now, today, this is today, but there's Brother John in his patio. They have a mission there. We hope to be a church. Montenegro Baptist Church was started in a man's patio, put some walls up. They now have their own land and a building. But we ordained Brother Luis, who was pastor at that time. Brother Gabriel is there now, and he came out of Brother Victor Pice's church. Brother Ulysses got a church in his garage. And then we have Brother Edison. I just received a communication from Brother Edison. I've been saying he has four second-generation churches. He just told me he has eight churches with buildings and two in process. That's his new building. It's going to seat 500. And so he has a radio station. We helped him start a radio station 10 years ago. Been preaching 24/7 since. And we just praise the Lord for what he's done. That was a one-time investment of $10,000, and they've been in charge ever since. We start the churches, and we're there for different amounts of time. But the idea is for the national pastor to become the pastor and to take over responsibilities. That's one of Brother Edison's first churches, second-generation churches that come out of there. And we feel like a church is like a tree that has apples. They produce and produce, amen? And that's the reason we're interested in church planting, is to have a place where they preach the gospel and reach out in their communities. Brother Luis went to the east part of the country and started a church. And we love to see people baptized, amen? Not just make a profession of faith, but to be baptized. He was meeting under a mango tree. And then we had a policeman. He was saved, and we baptized him, and see some oil tankers in the background in the Caribbean. And small work there. It's not really grown, but we've got a presence there. And a neighboring town where there is a pretty good-sized church. Last term, some people came to our apartment and wanted to start a meeting, a church. And so there we go. This is going to be a little more detail. The Lord gave us this piece of land. It was full of trash. Had an old house on the front part. And so I was amazed at what God had given us. That's a big deal to me, amen, to have a piece of land like that. And the kids started coming in that area. Had a lot of kids come. And was put up a roof out back. I cut that tree down. And seen people saved. Seen them baptized, amen. See them baptized. Go. It's important. That's a profession, public profession of your faith. And so you have to do that to become a church member. Then we have these people who was leaders in the church. So many children came out, we didn't have chairs at that particular time for the kids. And got walls up, and we're growing, people becoming saved, getting leaders, it's getting active in the Word. And there's Barbara, she works behind the scenes real hard. But that's our Vacation Bible School in that year. And the Lord gave us this baptistry. You'll see me building on it a little later. But I love to see people baptized. That's the turning point as far as them making a commitment. I know we're saved by grace, but it's a blessing to see people make the commitment, become workers. Now the building's taken on a little bit more form, and we had some men come back from men's camp. Then we had a ladies' camp reunion there in the church. And we give out a set of books to leaders in the church, Bible dictionary, Bible, a study Bible, and to help them to get that little push. Now we're building on that church, the front of it. Stone there was real cheap. That's the baptistry area. And being a missionary is more than just preaching. There's a lot of other things that they have to do. But that is the prettiest church I've had the privilege to help start. And now we're still active. We've got, like I mentioned, about four areas we're working with. Food lines. Well, we take those food lines and hand out tracts. And that line had about 1,000 people and trying to get something to eat. Things in Venezuela are very, very, very bad. And they've been a lot of second and third generation churches started out of the works that we've started because we like them to reproduce. Amen. I believe churches should reproduce. Brother Luis on the Colombian border is having a meeting. This church has been painted over. They was given a little hard time there, but it really worked against them and for us. The community wanted us to do some work in their area. Then we turned the churches over to a national pastor. There's Brother Harrison. He's an accountant that works for the state to do bookkeeping in banks. And so he's the pastor there, and marrying people, baptizing people, and he's doing a great job at the Family of God Baptist Church. We're also making a shipment. Next week we're driving a truck down to Miami with food and Bibles and tracts. We're not sending it through the post office. We're going to drive her down. We've got a lot of boxes. And we're working on the East Coast. This is where church is about ready to fold. And now they're doing real good. And we hope to go down there in February and maybe ordain Brother Felix. And that's some of their young people. Great church. A lot of potential. So we're soul winning. We're discipling, baptizing, and trying to see churches started. Thank you so much for your time. Okay. We're going to make a challenge this morning. If maybe you have some questions, you can see there's a lot of information there, amen? And, oh my goodness, just so many things. And depending on what your mindset is, you may take it one way or the other. So we just try to make our general statement, then afterwards answer questions. We have been on the field over 30 years, so I speak Spanish real good most of the time. Somebody says when you go down to learn Spanish, you get to where you can't speak Spanish that well, and then you can't speak English either. So that's about where I'm at. I don't speak English too good or Spanish. I want to say Spanish words sometimes, so if I stutter, that's probably why. But I'm going to give a challenge out of the mission manual this morning, if it's okay. It's called the Book of Acts. Last time I said that, the pastor started to stand up, and he's going to grab me. Got to preach out of the Bible. Well, amen. That's the mission manual, amen. That's the number one mission manual. We got other helps. I've read a lot of books on evangelism, mass evangelism, church planting, fertile ground, how to have a citywide meeting. When Brother Pete Rice came down and had that big meeting, and it was big. A lot of effort, money was put there because of the materials involved. And I says, I think I can do that on a limited scale. So I went back to my town. And I had $500. That wasn't quite the pay amount, the budget that they had, but I had $500. And we had a meeting. We had a good turnout. It wasn't that complicated. And so the manual we have here, I use a lot. And it starts in Acts chapter 13. You know, we have missions. And when somebody stands up like me, perhaps, and maybe you're new in church today, you're visiting, and you say, a missionary. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I was a country boy raised in North Florida, was in service, and come home and found a good job, Occidental Chemical Company, at that time was the name of it, and was married to Barbara, had our first child. Barbara got saved when our first child was born, and I was still kind of wild, and then she started witnessing to me and got me to go to church, and after 3 months, I got born again, got saved. Bashful, shy person, very shy, maximum. But the Lord can use us, amen. You can lose anybody. I don't have a lot of gifts. Somebody said, can I be a missionary if I don't know how to lead singing? I says, well, you're looking at one. I hope he can, because I don't know how to lead singing as far as my voice, amen. I know the theory. I know how to get up there. What I do is turn the mic off, let Barbara grab the mic over here, and we go for it, amen. I can do that. There's always a way. God will help us, amen.
That's right.
And so I got saved, got baptized, become a member of the church, started helping in Sunday school, the bus ministry, and then Lord called me to preach and got in missions. I'm making it real compact for the new person. So I'm just an average person that has been saved and found a treasure that's unspeakable that I wish to share to the whole world, but the Lord's let me go to Venezuela to share it. So if you're here today, we want to share that great treasure. That's the gospel. That's how to be saved, how to have eternal life. That's what it's all about. But in Acts chapter 13, it tells how the mission program works. You're going to be talking about faith, promise, and giving, and about us guys going. How do you go? Well, it's all right here in the Bible. Amen. That's what I like about the Baptists. They accuse us of following the Bible. Somebody became a member of our church. He got saved, became a member of our church. He left another church in Venezuela. And he says, you're going to go over to that church? All they do is teach out of the Bible. He said, well, I thought that's what you're supposed to do, amen. Yeah, but you know, all the Spirit tells us what to do. He says, yeah, I know, that's why I'm leaving. Now, you got the wrong spirit, amen. But anyway, let's read a verse here in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 1. Now, there were in the church, key word, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And I'm going to kind of skip around because I want to cover a couple of chapters here. And so this mission, you'll read a whole chapter or two or whatever. That's actually, if you go through Acts 13 to the end of the book and you highlight the cities that Paul goes to and divide those in three missionary trips, it really becomes alive. It becomes a manual for the missionary and encouragement to the Christian. So we start off where? In the local church, amen. You start off in Crooked Creek Baptist Church. That's where your mission program starts, right here in the local church. You can't help missions if you're not saved. You can't help missions if you're not baptized. How are you going to tell somebody else to be saved and baptized if you're not? Amen. How are you going to tell somebody, I want to be involved in mission? You're not even a member of a church. We start churches. Paul went about starting churches. Amen. What's a church? An assembly of saved people that wants to do God's work. And so the church is vital, important, and to be out of the rim of the church is not to be in God's will. We've got to be a part of His program.
Amen.
And that's the only way there is according to the Word of God, in the relation to the church. So there was a church in Antioch, and they had their prophets and teachers, and in the church you have your leaders. In our churches, we start out, me and Barbara, we're everything, amen. We're the song leader, the treasurer, and all this, and I'm looking for leaders in the church, especially, first off, somebody can sing, carry a tune in a bucket. That's all I ask for them. I said, you stand up there and we'll work it out, amen. And kind of give me some relief. And we're also looking for teachers, people that can open and shut the doors, security. We've had people come in, throw a machete around. That's not too fun, amen. So we like to have a little security if possible. And so they had the church here in Antioch. They had teachers there and prophets to teach the Word of God. And that's the part we're having this morning, is teaching about what the Bible says. So actually, the mission work is not just out there, you know, oh, we're going to send a bunch of money. No, there's a job to be done. Amen. And somebody said, well, I don't know if I want to give a quarter or I want to give a dollar. Well, there's people that give their whole life that's gone, and their parents die. They don't see their children. They don't see their grandchildren. Some people are worried if they don't see their grandchildren in a week or two. Amen. I seen Caden, he was born in South Carolina. We was there. Then I seen him when he was 5 years old. And so there's a little gap right there, amen. So there is sacrifice on all our parts, amen. We all are equally important in the mission work. The church is important. And here we see them there. They have their teachers, their prophets. Of course, they have their pastor. And it said in verse number 2, and they ministered unto the Lord, the church, and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I call them. God called Barnabas and Saul into be a missionary as far as a church planter and a preacher on the mission field. You've got to be called to preach, amen? You need to be called to preach the Word. Preach the Gospel. That's the basic part. I know we have a lot of help ministries and all that, and I understand that part, but I don't have time to touch all that. But anyway, so they were called. God calls. What is a call? Well, I look at that as, unless maybe the Lord's dealing with you, is like salvation. When I got saved, right prior to that, I had this thing that was bothering me. It's called conviction, amen? The Holy Ghost was there, and I knew I was doing bad. I knew I needed to get saved. I knew Barbara had the reason, or whatever how do you say that. She was right, and I was wrong, and the preacher was preaching, and now I found out heaven was free, and if I didn't receive Jesus, it was my fault. Conviction. And I finally got saved, amen? Well, then a couple, 3 years later, I was at a service in Albany, Georgia, Thomasville, Georgia, and Brother Crumpton was preaching, and they wasn't know if anybody was there that the Lord was dealing in your heart about preaching. Well, I had been under conviction, that there thing in my heart, you know, about preaching for some time, but I'm so bashful and don't like to speak in public. I didn't want to do that. I was being rebellious. The only time I really was rebellious with the Lord. But I raised my hand to pray for me. And that's what that call was. The Lord was calling me to preach, and I eventually surrendered to preach. Then went to Tabernacle in Greenville, South Carolina. Brother Howard Sattler was pastor at the time and had a mission conference. Brother Jimmy Rose was preaching. And Tuesday night, the Lord spoke to my heart about mission work. Venezuela, amen, a call, something you can't get away from. Not because you feel sorry for them, not because you have a burden, but a call. Because you can feel sorry for people and want to go help them, but after about 20 years, that kind of wears off, amen. You got to have a call. That first term, and you know, you're kind of romantic and you want to go there and do all these things and learn a new language and eat some empanadas or whatever you want to eat. And then that second term, you go, oh my goodness, that's 4 more years out there. Oh my goodness. And so you need a call. And that's what they had. They said the Holy Ghost called them. And the church is involved. You see, the church and the missionary, that's one group there doing the job. Everybody, you may have a job in the church here. That's just important. We all have a job. Now, if you don't have a job, that's where the problem comes in, amen. Because we all need to have a ministry, where if it's turning the lights on, or the air conditioning, or working around the church, or going on a mission trip, it's all important. It certainly is. But they had a call here, and it says in verse 3, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They sent them away. Well, that word sent there, if you look at the context, that just didn't mean, okay, let's have a going away party for Brother Joe. He's going to South Africa. Hope it all works out. And we'll be praying for you, brother. I asked the pastor, I said, he went down to Venezuela. I said, when are you coming back? He says, well, I'd like to go back. I said, I'm praying for you. He said, I've been praying ever since I've been down there, but I don't have any money. It takes material means to get the job done. And when they say they sent somebody, that meant they sent them equipped. It's like the American military. I was in the military. And when they send you somewhere, you have a uniform. If you're going in combat, you have a gun. They even give you ammunition. They have sea rations. They have all those things, right? They don't just say, oh, I hope you will do real good over in Afghanistan. No, they're going to send you equipped. And that's what this is talking about here. They sent some men that was called, and they sent them in the name of their church, in the name of the Lord, to get a job done. Amen? And so when you're giving in faith promise, that's just not just giving to mission. No, you're helping to equip a certain group of people that you're involved with to get the gospel out there. Amen? It's an extension of your church. Actually, it's an extension of you. When I was in the local church, and I was the deacon at the time, in Jasper, Florida, we had a missionary, Rocky Busto, to Argentina. And I didn't know much about missions. I was didn't know much at all. But I met him, and I sent him a box of tracts. Why? I want to be personally involved in getting the gospel out. Where if it's in the bus ministry or whatever it's in. So they send them out. And that's what missionaries do. They go. Amen. They go to a foreign land. They go to another culture. Sometimes they have to learn another language. I went to Mexico to learn a language. I'm giving you some detailed stuff, some technical stuff, so you can understand a little bit more about missions. It's more than just giving money. Some people think, well, I'm just going to dissolve. I'm getting my money. Oh, no. Come down with me. I'll be going down in November. Get you a ticket for the 19th, and you can go with me. And we'll try not to have you rob between Maracay and Caracas. Amen. Then when we get there, we'll have to get in a food line. I was there in July, and I didn't see one food line littler than what that big one you saw. I never seen a food line less than 1,000 people waiting there to see if the trucks would get there to have food. Amen. And I also found a bag of, looked like a bag of potatoes, croaker sack bag. Y'all know if y'all ever seen a croaker sack bag. Well, I found one by my house full of a cut up person inside of it. And so that was just in 30 days. That was the most traumatic little trip I've taken in a while. And so it's not just, it's not a vacation. Sometimes I had a pastor want to be a missionary one time. My ex-pastor at a particular time, and he later says, well, the reason I'm going is I need a vacation. I need to kind of retire early. I said, oh, my goodness, wrong place. Wrong business to get in. Then I was there about 3 months. Brother, I didn't know you walked so much. I didn't know you sweat so much. I didn't know it was going to be work. Well, look at here. Look in verse number 2. And they ministered to the Lord, and they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work. It's work. It's work. There's building to be done. There's papers to be sought after, legal papers to have permissions to build and to do this and that. And we had to get paperwork done. I'm trying to share some stories. And we got that new building. Well, I had the lights turned on. We got the building, got the paperwork done, signed the papers. And then I want to have the lights put in the name of the church. Okay, do that. And I says, well, I want the water and the lights turned on. Well, you got to go have the water place. And the water place says, well, you got to go to the Socialist Land Committee that's run by the Socialist Party or Communist Party down there. So I go meet her, and she says, oh, you're an American. And she's got Chavez's pictures up there and Fidel's picture all over the place. And she says, what in the world are you Americans doing down here? You know you ain't all the food, and you're consuming all the goods in the whole world, and we're down here starving. And she gave me a long discourse. And I said, I'm just here to enrich your community and to help your community to have a better life by knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. I wasn't going to confront her on this social issues like we're having here in the States today. But anyway, so eventually she signed the paper. Amen. She signed the paper and was able to get everything turned on. So there's a lot of other things to be, a lot of work to do. And not only, you also have to have soul winning. And we hand out Bible courses. And then you have all the activities in the church, et cetera. And we're usually working in more than one place. I had a missionary who wants to go to Venezuela call me the other day. He says, Brother Jerry, some of the pastors I know are confused because you mentioned that you're in Maracay, but you talk about Puerto Espíritu, and you talk about Cariaco, and you talk about Cumaná. I says, well, I've got my hands in a lot of places. I'm not pastoring, amen. Pastoring, you just go Sunday, and you do. I know how to do that, you know. I've been a pastor at a church. I'm always a pastor somewhere. I got my pastor in Maracay right now, and I got my associate having service this morning. So we stay busy. Right now we're double tasking. So it's work, amen. Work to be done. Missions is work. Don't think you're sending people off. If they're going to Hawaii or someplace, Venezuela's tropical. Beautiful summer to year round. But and we take advantage when I could of any opportunity to relax, but there's a lot of work to be done, amen. Sometimes there's a lot of fruit. Let me say this. Like I said, a lot of pictures, a lot of things. I always put the positive here. I don't put when I'm fixed to be locked up in jail on there, amen. No, I don't do that part. Or when we have to close the door to a mission. But there's other areas that's harder, that doesn't render the same fruit. And that's not because of the missionary. Let me show this. Here, we're talking verse 3. I want to go to chapter 14, but I don't know. But we go and preach in a place. When I first went, and the second work I was trying to do, and I've got a bunch of outlines. They're all in Spanish. And that takes a lot of work to is in the beginning when you're trying to learn a language. And so I've got those, and I'm the preacher. And I go in this area, and this area in Soledad is what it was called. And we preached and visited. I've done everything. I've read a lot of books. I know how to do all those things. And soul winning and bus ministry, I know how to do all that. And we had about 3 visitors, 3 different people that come during 6 months. With my family. That's all we had. I go, oh my goodness, that is terrible. And a lot of preachers, when they go out to start a church, they'll go try to start one, rent a building. If it doesn't work, I've heard a lot of times they resign. They say, oh my goodness, I'm a failure. Oh no, we're not a failure. God's with us, amen. If that was true, I would have to pack my bags about 10 times. I know at least 10 times. I've preached in an area and had a fairly good meeting and had some people saved, 2, 10 people saved. And I start having a little meeting there. And there are a bunch of lazy people that don't want to do nothing. Amen. After about 6 months of that, I'll go preach somewhere else. Amen. And you say, well, that was a failure. No, I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm looking for Lydia by the riverside that wants to have a church. And when you see enough people saved, that wants to be baptized, that wants to serve God, well, that's where you start a church at. And it's not the fault of the preacher, because later on, we only had a few visitors there, and I was really discouraged. And a friend of mine says, will you go preach over there in Abuela's patio? And I says, yeah, I'll go preach over there. And I'm not going to do any flyers. I'm going to advertise it, but I'll go do it and show a Christian film. So we went and preached, Barbara and him sung with my children, and then I showed a Christian film. The first night we had 30. Then we had 100. Then it was packed out. I said, boy, I'm having success now, amen. No, same messages, same preacher. Fish was just biting. There was some people there interested. So it does that success is not measured by the number of churches or people that we see. And we praise the Lord. I like to share anything positive. But we just need to be faithful about what we're to do, amen. We need to be faithful about that. So they were sent. Then they went. I've got my Bible highlighted all the cities. And they run into a big problem. There was this guy named Bar Jesus. And he was a witch. And we've had witches down in Venezuela. They got a mountain called Monte Sorte where all the witches go and offer sacrifices and things. And they had a big confrontation. They even called him the child of the devil. And eventually the deputy got saved, the governor of this area. And it says in verse number 13 of chapter 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came into Perga and Phanelia, and John departed from them to Jerusalem. Oh my goodness. Mission work wasn't what John thought it was. He thought he was going to get to go around the boat ride and see the Mediterranean and have a good time. But there's real serious problems down there. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the prayer letter, but some a year ago, maybe now, a year and a half, 2 years ago, we was given a large building. It's a big building. You could sit this church in it four times, at least four times, tall ceiling, and it's worth over $1 million. It's right downtown where the roads cross in a city of 150,000, big skyscraper right next to it. And I was excited about that. That was given to me. I talked to the owner. He said, it's yours. The government's having some political meetings there, but it's yours. So I got an engineer, my associate, we went and had a meeting there. Then the state police general, that's the guy over the whole state, he wanted us to go down to the police station. So we was detained, amen, and told if we didn't leave that building alone, we would be put guns on our possessions or drugs and we would be locked up for a long time. Now that police station, if you go to YouTube, you can look up and you'll find that's where they take people out back and eliminate them. It's live. I mean, they carried some guys back there, and it looks real bad. I don't like to talk about it too much. But that's a real bad thing. So to be in a missionary, it's in our situation. I have to qualify that because every country's different. But it's work, amen. You need to be sent. Paul had this with John Mark left. So it's a serious thing, but we thank the Lord for the opportunity. You've seen churches has been started amongst it all. We still can preach the gospel. We can hand out tracts. We're fixing to drive this truck down to Miami next week, and it's got Bibles in it, it's got tracts in it, it's got food in it. I've been really trying, I've never done that before. I always kind of made fun when churches offer to send us toothpaste. You want to send you some toothpaste? I go, what's wrong with these people? Toothpaste is all over the world, you know, you can get toothpaste. Or you need some Jell-O. I said, oh my goodness, we got Jell-O all over the place. But now in Venezuela, there's no toothpaste. It's hard to find. When I say no, that means you have to make a all-week effort to find it. There are no soap, no batteries, no tires, no medicine. Children die for lack of medicines in the hospitals. And we got somebody now that has a death threat as far as their health's concerned, and they can't get the medicine to heal them. So we're praying for those people. So Paul here, he's preaching the gospel, and as you look in chapter, let me just skip real fast. We're going to go over to chapter 14, verse 23. And it says, and when they ordained them elders in every church. When I went back to Venezuela in June, We went there to ordain Brother Jose. You're sitting there. Acts 14:23. Ordaining pastors. Lord willing, I want to ordain the pastor at Cumaná in February. We're going to have a special meeting there to try to start a church. Look in verse 27. I'm finishing up maybe. It says here in verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church. Now we're back at the church. Amen. They're on furlough. They're back at the church. Together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. And that's what the picture's of. That's what us missionaries come in for. We show what God has done us as a team. Amen. You say, boy, you done a lot, brother. No, God done it. Using all of us to do that. Amen. We're just the point of the spear, but it takes everybody. And it's all right here in the Bible. They started in the church and they finished in the church. Amen. So I just count a privilege and honor to serve Him. We're excited. We stay excited. And we've got two or three churches, I call them in the oven here, we're trying to get going. And you pray for us as we go. And we'll be going back to November the 19th down there to serve the Lord. It's always stressful to go in. You may be locked up. It's stressful when you get there. And it's stressful when you leave. It's all stressful, amen. I guess. Okay, Pastor, it's quarter till.
Tell you what, I was just really refreshed just to hear what God is doing in Venezuela through the offerings and many others and through the nationals, amen. People they've won to Christ and poured their lives into and the lives that are being changed. Just a true challenge to us. I appreciate the offerings and Brother Jerry, Miss Barbara. We just as a church we want to say that we thank you. Thank you for being willing to go and willing to serve. We love you, and we're just thankful you allow us to play a part in your ministry. And by God's grace, we will continue to do so. And that's things that, like Brother Offer said, there is no such thing as an insignificant part of the Great Commission. The missionaries can't go without the church, and the church can't send out missionaries without the missionaries. It's a team effort, and how wonderful the Lord allows us to all play a part. And that's something I'm praying about this week, and I hope you are too. Lord, like I mentioned Wednesday night, remember what I challenged you with. Lord, let's pray. Lord, what would you have me to do for world missions, for stateside missions, for to make a difference in eternity? And what would you have me do? What would you have my family do? And be praying, Lord, what would you have my family do to play a part in reaching people for eternity? And then thirdly, Lord, what would you have our church to do? What can we do? How much more can we do for you? You know, when you were teaching, Brother Alford, I couldn't help but think of what the Lord Jesus said. If any man will follow me, if any man will come after me, he has to deny himself. And he has to take up his cross. And by the way, Brother Alford, he is giving a testimony tonight that that's what he has decided to do in his life, he and his Barbara, that they're just going to take up the cross that God gives them. And that's something we need to ask ourselves. Hey, it may not be Venezuela for you. But I will tell you this, if you determine to follow the Lord, you'll have a cross too. And it's going to rub you. It's going to cause some sores. It's going to hurt a lot. But the best thing we can do is just say, Lord, it hurts. And sometimes, boy, it's uncomfortable. But Lord, thank you that we can do this for you. Because I don't want to. I want to deny myself. I want you, Lord. I want to follow after you. And I believe the Lord will bless that type of spirit. But thank you for that challenge. I'm thankful for what the Lord is doing. Just a quick announcement. We had combined Sunday school class. By the way, wonderful group here for Sunday school hour. I want to thank you for your faithfulness this morning. I really appreciate that. That encourages me, and I know it encourages the missionaries. But next week, we will go back to Sunday school, your Sunday school classes. So teachers, be reminded of that. Be prepared to teach your lessons next Sunday. Next Sunday morning for Sunday school will not be combined classes. We have just a couple minutes. I'd like to take 2 minutes. Is there any questions for Brother Alford or for their ministry that maybe that you were curious about after the presentation? One of the things I wanted to ask, Brother Alford, what would you say your greatest prayer need is right now, going back to the field in November? What are some ways that we can be really targeting in on as praying for you?
Well, it's going to be a problem with food. I'm carrying about a month's supply of food because we can't get in the food lines because of the hostilities that people's already stressed out. So food, we can buy it off the street at a black market price. And then I have Chinese friends who help us with food. And then we don't get sick on the field because the hospitals don't work down there. So that would be a problem. And security. The Lord's really blessing the work in that area. It's just this socialism is about to starve us to death. They promised we'd all be equal and we'd have free medicine and free university and free books. We'd have all that free stuff because they're a member of OPEC country. They have free oil. They have oil. And they don't really charge that much on taxes. But we're all hungry, broke, and sad now.
Yeah. Well, you got that. I mean, can you imagine leaving here in this church and wondering whether or not you would even be able to make it into the grocery store? I mean, folks, we got a lot to be thankful for. Brother Nero?
Just a question to follow that one up. In the church, individuals, what would you say to self-burdens such as food and paper packages? What is the best way to do that, that you actually perceive it?
Right. It's kind of like sending something to North Korea to a friend. The postal service in Venezuela has been collapsed way over 10 years. And so that's why we're sending these boxes to Total Cargo Express out of Miami, and they go by boat. And it's an unusually successful deal. They'll send that right to my front door. But you got to have 10 boxes, 10 cubic feet to send. And so it's for the average person, it's almost impossible to send something. It would have to be a lot.
So could you tell us how much it is to send that?
Well, 10 cubic feet, if you can get it to Miami, to their place, it's
right.
$180. It's not that expensive.
And that's boxes of food. We just
boxes of whatever you want to send. I'm sending 4 sets of tires. I'm sending soap. I'm sending all kind of goodies that you wouldn't think you would have to
have. And then from Miami to Venezuela, total, what would we be looking at?
Well, from Miami to my house is $180, which is not bad for that many boxes.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you now my numbers. I've got 40 cubic feet. That's 2 pallets this tall full of boxes with literature, Bibles, food, tires, things like that. And I'm going to rent a Penske truck, and that's $600 for the rental, not counting gas, from Bristol, Virginia to Miami. And then it's going to be about $600-$700 for all of those boxes to our house, which is literature and things.
So that's all that for around $1,300?
That's right, which I'm going to try to meet a pastor in Miami that if we got in a real bind for food, that he could buy boxes of food and live in Miami and carry it straight to this company and just cost the shipping of the boat.
Well, church, I think we ought to pray about sending a pallet. And doing that, at least seeing how it goes, and just say how the Lord would have us participate in that. We may not be able to go, but we can send help. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, thank you again for that great presentation. We're going to have a word of prayer now, and then we'll just be dismissed until the church service starts here in about 10 minutes. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful again for this great presentation. Lord, you stirred my heart and reminded me of this awesome responsibility you've given us to send out missionaries to all around the world, to our own country, and to be a part of that. And Lord, thank you for letting us play a part. I pray that our church would be renewed in their vision for that and rekindled, Lord, as we can make a difference in eternity. So, Lord, we commit the morning hour to you coming up and just pray that you would move in a very special way. Please continue to prepare our hearts. Lord, my cup is already filled, and I'm just so thankful, God, for what you're doing already. And I give you the glory, honor, and praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.